You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Welcome back to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas, and today I have the honor of sitting down with a very special guest, a guest that kind of resembles one of my favorite phrases in life, and that's flying under the radar, because that's exactly what this guy does. Watched him play for years. I've always admired his dedication to whatever team he's played for, and he's just one of those guys that every coach, every owner, every player would love to have on their team. Please welcome Stratos. Let's see if I can do it. Peperoglu. Welcome to The Crossover, first of all, man. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good.
Good. I saw your wife in an interview, and she didn't say it very well either, so.
Yeah, it took her a few years to be able to say it right, no?
And that interview was, like, I think, from, like, 2009,
right,
so
right.
I think you guys just we'll get
still working on it.
Yeah, still working on it, right? How's her Greek? Does she speak Greek?
She speaks Greek, yeah.
She does? Yeah. All right, that's perfect, then. Look, I say flying under the radar because it seems like to me that when I started doing my research about you, you played for so long and you've won so many things, but I don't think many people realize how much you've done in your career along the way. That's why I say, like, when you understand when we say flying under the radar, like, no one really sees you. What do you test that to?
You know, first of all, I think I was blessed to play in great teams, you know, great coaches and great players. And I was never like, you know, the main guy or, you know, I wanted to just help my teams to be successful, you know. And I always was there to listen to my coaches and do what they tell me to do. And, you know, at the end of the day, I wanted to go home and just feel good about my effort, you know.
Team player. The ultimate team player is what you'd probably consider yourself, right?
Yeah, I would like to think of myself as a team player, yeah.
You're from Rhodes.
Well, actually, I'm from North Greece. I'm from Kavala.
You're from Kavala originally?
Yeah, but, you know, my dad was in the army, so we moved every couple of years, and Rhodes was the first place I actually kind of started playing basketball.
Is Athens is home now, but do you still visit Rhodes a lot?
I don't really go to Rhodes a lot, but yeah, Athens is my home. My family's there, so I spend most of my time in Athens.
Ah, okay. I was going to invite you to a restaurant in Rhodes, man. If you go to Rhodes, you have to go to Pepperoni.
Pepperoni,
yeah, Italian restaurant. Yeah. It's a good friend of mine.
I'll go next time.
That's a great restaurant. But you started playing ball on the island, right?
For a men's team, yeah. That was my first men's team that I played with, yes. I was there for a year.
But you played that other sport first, from what I understand.
Soccer, yeah.
I call it that other sport.
That other sport, yeah. I mean, I think every kid back then, you know, that's the sport they played in the beginning, you know. It's just more accessible, you know. Just have a ball and play.
Right.
And then,
What was your height? Were you tall then?
I was on the taller end, but you know, not really big, you know. And then I think one summer I gained a lot of height, and then my dad said he probably saw I wasn't very good at football, so he's like, "Once you try this other sport, you know, you might have a better chance."
But were you one of those guys? Like, I tried to play soccer one time many years ago, and I was so tall back then. They're like, "Just play goalie."
Yeah, I mean, here in Europe, you know, we grow up playing soccer.
And of course.
And like in the States, when I see my teammates like kicking the ball or passing the ball, I'm like, that's how I look when I throw a football, you know, like American football.
Dude, so when the American guy said
it looks awkward, you know.
I remember when I was playing and like I would see, we would have shooting practice, you know, shoot arounds. Mm-hmm. And the ball would go either through the net or whatever. And I see the European guys always like, you know, 1 foot, 2 foot behind the back. And like, and I would try that and I would kick myself, you know what I mean? And they would just laugh at me. But then, like you said, when we had to throw the baseball pass, you know,
right.
I would kill them. You know, there's no way they could do the baseball.
You just grow up learning how to play this sport,
exactly.
You know.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one younger brother, yes, 4 years younger.
One younger brother. Yes. Is he an athlete too, or?
No, he used to play basketball, but then, you know, he stopped after high school.
And your mom and dad, were they big into, I mean, obviously your dad, he's big because he told you to stop playing soccer, right?
Right.
It puts you to, were they big into the sports also? So many athletes nowadays have parents that were also basketball players, or?
Yeah, my dad loved sports. He played soccer himself, but just as a, more as a fan, you know, he just liked sports, and he always, from a young age, pushed me to be active, you know, to just try different things and then to be active, and I think that's a good thing.
Now, I'm assuming, this is an assumption now, I don't know for sure, you come from a typical Greek Orthodox family. The whole, you know, the Easters, you know, plus the small island community. I'm bringing this up because you know where I'm going to go with it, but we'll get there in a minute. When did you decide that basketball was the sport? When was the moment where you're like, you know what, you know, maybe I can do this as
I
a
think,
professor?
When I was in Rhodes Island, we had some games in Athens with my team, and after these games, when my old agent called my dad and he said, you know, I think there's a potential here, you know, and will you be willing to let him come to Athens to play, you know? And I just started realizing and thinking that that could be a potential. That can be something that I can do for my career, for the rest of my, you know, life, my playing career.
Playing life, yeah.
Playing life, yeah. And so when I went to Athens, my mindset changed, and I'm like, okay, I'm here for a reason, you know, and I want to do this my profession, you know.
Because there's always, to me, there's a point where this becomes, where the sport, for me, it was the same thing. It became from a hobby to a passion, and then to like, hey, maybe I can make something out of this. For me, it was like a game or two that I played along the way. For you, it was that moment where someone had an interest in you.
Yeah, and then just moving to Athens and taking that, you know, decision as a family. I mean, I knew that there were many sacrifices involved for my family too.
Right.
So I wanted to make that work, you know. I wanted to...
How hard is that for this Greek Orthodox family that's so close-knit? They're always, you know, like every time I was in Greece and I've lived in Greece, played in Greece, the families are so close. It has to be so hard with only two boys on top of it. I can imagine your mom...
Exactly. It was my mom, you know. My dad was in favor of me going, you know, but my mom was really against it. You know, I was 15.
That's young.
15 to 16, yeah. And then I found out later that my parents didn't really talk for like a year. You know, there was a big conflict in the house, you know. And
I mean, I'm not laughing because that's funny.
No, but it is also, you know, knowing the culture, the Greek culture, families kind of stick together, and it's very unusual. But, you know, I didn't know any of this until later, but I'm thankful that, you know, that they decided to let me go and pursue my dreams, you know.
You're sitting here in front of me with a Chevena Vezda Red Star jersey on, but you're from Greece. I have to ask you the typical question. Who was your favorite team growing up? When you started playing basketball,
I know it's a
difficult question.
No, I don't. I grew up watching, following Ike, you know, and you played for Ike.
Ah, there you go. That's right. You just said that to me before.
Actually, when I started playing basketball, you were the first team that, you know, I was following, and
that makes me feel really old, man.
You know, I get this now. Some of my young teammates tell me stuff, and I'm like, man, I feel old.
Isn't it amazing how this happened to me years ago, when you were always the youngest guy on the team, and then one day you wake up and you're one of the oldest guys on the team.
They call you grandpa, yeah.
It's like within...
When did that happen, right?
I know. It's like it happens so quickly that
so
it's
quickly,
amazing.
So quickly, so quickly.
Because you're in that position right now, obviously.
And so quickly, yeah. It's still surprises me, but...
when you went from the small island of Rhodes or from Kavalas or whatever, and you moved up into that next level... How difficult was it? Was it because you had to deal with the transition of being in Athens by yourself?
It was difficult. First of all, like the level was different. You know, I went from a small town to play in Athens, and I remember one of my first practices, there was like 50 kids from Athens, you know, and trying out. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm like, these guys are good, you know? I should go back to the island and just start fishing or something. But... And then the transition, like, you know, being in a big city. My grandma came from North Greece to help me out, you know, in the first year. So that was a great help, you know. And,
grandmas are always the best.
Always. But it's just difficult, you know, when you're like a teenager. And then, you know, I think my first holidays, just being away from my family alone, right. And that's where it hit me. Like, I'm here by myself, yeah. You know, and then that's a difficult transition, but you know, you get used to it.
I always think about, like, I feel like I was lucky to become the player that I was and had the career that I have, because as you just said to me before, and you're walking right into like one of my questions, it's perfect. When you got to Athens, you saw so many people like, what am I doing here? How many players have you seen along the way of your career that you looked at like, man, how did I make it? Or how, you know, and this guy never made it, because when I was his age, he was so much better than me.
Too many.
There's so many, right?
I mean, when I look back, there were so many guys that had a lot more talent than I had, you know, and something happened along the way, injuries or other stuff. And I feel blessed to have this career, you know, that I had.
I remember playing in college with guys that, you know, jumped over the backboard, you know, they would score, and they, you know, in practice they would kill me on a daily basis, you know, and I'd be like, this is just not my game anymore. But something happens along the way, and I don't know what it is. What do you think it is that made you continue to pursue? Was it family? Was it just the fact that you had a lot of support behind you?
I think, like for me, I've learned early in my life to be disciplined. You know, like I said, my dad was in the army. I learned how important work ethic is, and also being able to listen to instruction, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big problem, especially for the newer generations, you know, being able to respect authority, listen to instruction, and just do what they're told, you know. And like I said, I was never like the talent that everybody was talking about. But I wanted to work hard and listen to my coaches and take one step at a time.
Coaches love that. Coaches love that, because there's so many players that don't do that, you know?
And
they're not that consummate team player. One day, I usually talk about personal stuff later on, but I think it's part of your lifestyle. You're a devout Christian. Mm-hmm. You I've seen the video of you in Serbia talking to the kids. I think that's incredible that that you're doing those kind of things. Talk about, because Christianity is Jesus becoming your savior, you know, recognizing that Jesus is your savior, that everything revolves around. Talk about that for me, how important that is in your life, and how, first of all, how it became important, when it happened.
My faith is very important to me. I was about 21 years old when I decided to give my life to Jesus.
In Athens.
And you know, that's what gets me through the hard times in my mm-hmm. my career, in my life, and then that's where, at the end of the day, that's what I want to live for, you know, even with my basketball and there's things that are more important than basketball, or
of course,
and to me, you know, that's what gets me through life. I want to follow Jesus, and I want to honor him, you know, with my life.
I did one time when I was younger, and I used to play outdoors all the time. And I grew up in the inner city. It was very rough. You know, one day we found the place. It was called Northside Christian Academy. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget it, you know, because it was the first time, other than like playing regular basketball, I was able to go somewhere and play like just pickup games.
Yeah.
And it was incredible, you know. And like after the second time we went there, we were from the city. This was outside. And it was a Christian academy, so they made us do this process, you know, they like, you know, so that we could keep coming back to play. And we only wanted to play, you know. Right. So I did it. I went home and I told my mom, I'm like, hey, mom, you know, because we were very Catholic.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, mom, I said, I became a Christian today.
Yeah.
She's like, what do you mean?
You've always been a Christian, right?
She said, what do you mean? She's like, you're Catholic. I'm like, no, but like, I became a Christian because I want to go play basketball. She's like, I will kill you. How did this go over? Because Greek Orthodox, first of all, where do you find that in Athens? Because it seems so, I mean, it's 99.9%.
There's a few evangelical Christians, you know. I mean, you know, the first one who introduced me to Christ was my wife now, you know, and she talked to me about Christ. And, you know, I knew a lot of stories about Jesus and the Bible. And I'm like, yeah, I know all this stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But I had missed the point of who Jesus is and what he has done to come for me personally, you know.
Right.
And I think a lot of people think Christianity is a bunch of moral rules that you just have to follow, and at the end of the day, you see, you know, what happens. But like for me, I realized that the gospel, that Jesus came here to die for my sins, and that I need forgiveness, and then that I wanted to devote my life to him, you know, and follow him. And there's ups and downs, you know, but that's where, you know, he helps me in this walk of faith, you know, and that's what it's all about for me.
Do you remember a change? Like, you obviously had to go through this process of converting, I assume. Mm. Do you remember anything that just like, or it was just like another day and you just decided to make a conscious change?
I just felt so much lighter, you know, I feel like a burden was lifted off my shoulders, but the change is daily, you know. I think that for me, it's a pursuit of Christ and just until the day I die, it's a process that I'm pursuing to become more like him, you know?
Mm-hmm. With Aaron is your wife's name, mm-hmm. right? You've been, I don't know, Ilasiakos, yeah. Paniones, Panathinaikos, Olympiakos, Anadoula, FC Barcelona, Jerusalem, Savannah, you've been everywhere.
Yeah.
But you've had mostly long-term contracts, most of the places that you got, you spent, except for a couple times. But when did you and Aaron meet?
I was in Paniones. She came to play for the women's team, you know, and she was a basketball player.
In Paniones?
She came to play in Paniones, and they practiced after us.
Ah,
so
okay.
That's where the connection happened.
She's a WNBA player.
She played in the WNBA, but you know, in her off season, she came to Greece to play because the WNBA season is during the summer.
Right.
So she came to Greece, and there were only two Americans in the team. And the other American.
That's when Europe was Europe.
Right.
That's right,
when
yes, I played.
Right.
Only two Americans.
Right. And the other American was dating Kostas Hadzikristos. He's the strength mm-hmm. coach of CSKA right now. You know. So. You know, we were interested in each other, and we just decided to go out as couples, and that's where the story began, you know?
From what I do my research, I just don't sit down and talk with you guys. She was in Greece trying to get some extra money to build a home for women, for unfortunate women, for whatever, in Costa Rica.
Well, you really did your research, huh?
Yeah, of course.
See, her passion was surfing.
Right.
She didn't like basketball. She wanted to surf, and she actually, yeah, she came to make some money to build a house in Costa Rica.
Yeah, she didn't go to Greece to surf. That's
no,
for sure.
No, she came for two. Yeah, she came for 2 months, with the hope to go back and then start her life in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. And actually, I didn't meet her in these 2 months, and then she extended her contract for the remaining of the season.
So is Paniones, which was 2004 to 2007.
Yeah, right.
And
so
you guys
that
met?
Was in the first year, 2004 to 2005.
So you met early?
Earlier, yes.
Okay.
And so she, you know, she came for 2 months. She stayed for 15 years.
But she went back, though, to play in a couple of seasons in the WNBA until about 2009, right?
Yes, she retired when we got married.
How difficult was that to maintain a relationship?
Well, like I said, you know, WNBA season is in the summer, so I was yeah. able to go and see her in my off season. I had to play with the national team, so we did a lot. We did some long distance
right.
relationship, and you know, back in the day, we didn't have FaceTime or so we had this messenger.
I love talking to old guys like you, man.
We had this messenger thing.
It's harder to do, right?
Man, and I, you know, like when you go to school in the States, you learn how to type fast, you know.
Yeah.
In Greece, we don't have computers and stuff. So I'm sitting on the front of the computer trying to type with one finger, you know.
Yeah.
And I look up and I have
ten
questions that I have to answer. I go down, I'm sweating. And then she thinks I'm not interested or something, you know.
Right.
And it just, it was funny.
And then those phone calls back then used to be very expensive,
yeah, you
too.
Yeah, had some, yeah.
You didn't want to make those phone calls.
Right.
I couldn't I couldn't imagine being married to a professional basketball player. And I know, I mean, I've seen this. She's a beautiful girl. She's tall. And everything's perfect. But her understanding the game so much is probably a positive thing for a lifestyle, but I couldn't imagine coming home after maybe getting yelled at by a coach or having a bad game, and then all of a sudden having my wife also tell, hey man, you know, can you defend that guy a little bit?
Right,
the guy,
right.
You know, because she obviously knows the game too. How difficult
that was,
is that?
That was kind of like a silent agreement. We didn't really talk about it, but we kind of set the tone from the beginning that, excuse me, we don't really talk about basketball, at least the X and O's, you know. We talk about situations. I mean, of course, if something is hard or bothering me, you know, we would talk about it. But the nice thing is that he understands the lifestyle that comes with that job, the traveling.
Right,
and, you know, she's very understanding. And But we kind of stay away from basketball talks, you know.
How I couldn't find anything about your wedding except for one interview that she did along the way that's like, oh my God, like everybody needs to get married. what was this wedding all about? Because I think you got married like three. You're like, I got married to my wife now two times. Once here in Spain and once in Santorini.
Really?
Yeah, but I think you got married like three times, didn't you?
Two times. No, we had a court wedding in Greece. Right. That's because it was in the middle of the season. And, you know, we just wanted to start our lives together. And then in the summer, we just did a wedding at the church in the States in San Antonio. Because she was playing in San Antonio at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, do you have to do another one back in Greece? Are you going to do the big one in Greece for family?
We're renewing our vows at some point, you know.
I got a great place, Athena Luxury Suites in Santorini.
Yeah, you have to give me a card or something.
I'll get you hooked up there, no problem. I love that place. Let's go to your career a little bit. Your final season at Panionis was one of your best seasons, numerically. Your numbers got better every year. What was that too? Is it confidence from your coaches, confidence from your players? Is it just being in the same place? Is it self-confidence?
Well, I remember that my second year in Panionis was pretty bad. Like the team was bad. I really struggled. And then my last year, Luka Pavicevic came to the team, you know, and I remember I had really not a lot of confidence from the year before in one of our first friendly games. I didn't shoot an open three. And he started yelling at me. And nobody yelled at me for not taking a shot.
For not taking a shot.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, this guy believes in me, you know.
Right.
And I think it's important for a player to feel like the coach wants him, he likes him, mm-hmm. you know, confidence. And also, like I said, my faith played a big role. That was when I turned to Christ and I just found peace that, you know, basketball is not all I have, mm-hmm. and I was able to be free from that because I had a lot of pressure before, you know, and for me, it was just so relieving, you know, and I was just able to go out there, have fun, and play and compete, and, you know, I had a good season that year, and I really had a lot of fun with the guys, who was a great group of people.
You said so many times, and I'm 100% behind you, but I'm saying this for people who are listening. Basketball is secondary. Basketball is always secondary to you, to your faith.
Yeah.
It doesn't ring well for the person who, everybody who says, you know, if you want to be a professional athlete, you have to be, you know, 100% devoted. It doesn't mean, I want to just make it clear, what you're saying, it doesn't mean you're not 100% devoted to your sport.
To me, as a Christian, like I said, I want to pursue Christ and one of the things that he says in the Bible is, whatever you do, do it with all your heart as you work it for the Lord. So for me, that was my to-go verse, you know, like every time I go to practice, I wanted to be the best I could, mm-hmm. but not for myself, not for my coaches, not for my teammates, but for God. And I think that gave me the fuel to keep pursuing and to work hard, you know.
And that gets you to Panathinaikos.
That did.
Now that I know a little bit more about you from our pre-talk and what you've told me here, how weird was it to sign at Panathinaikos for 5 years and essentially share the same building with your favorite team, with Ike?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. But, you know, once you become a professional basketball player,
you don't have a favorite team anymore.
You don't think about this anymore. I mean, you play against them, you know, you just see also the professional aspect and everybody's there to make a career, you know, and you compete against them. So, for me, that was an amazing opportunity. You know, it was a very interesting summer, and I was pursued by these big teams. And I was like, "Wow, that's amazing!" You know.
Did you ever imagine when you were like playing in Rose that this would be happening?
Never. I mean, you know, I started like kind of following basketball in '96 when Panathinaikos won the EuroLeague.
Right.
And they just had won the EuroLeague that year in 2007.
That was the year I was knocked out of the Final Four by Barcelona. So I don't know if I want to talk about it too much.
96, right? Yeah. Yeah, but to have an offer from you know, such a big club at 22, I mean, it was amazing. Like, it was hard to wrap my mind around it, you know. And
but what's it like to put that jersey on? You know, that, because I mean, Panathinaikos is to me one of the biggest clubs in Europe, without a doubt.
Yeah,
and when I came to Real Madrid, when I put that jersey on, it felt different than putting other people's jersey on. But Panathinaikos has one thing that I think a lot of other clubs don't have. It's that feeling of family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in, you're in. You're, right. You know, and I think that's one of the things I've respected most about that club is the family feel that it has.
Right. I mean, when I signed there, they had, you know, they had won 4 EuroLeagues. I mean, it was one of the most successful teams of the decade. You know, I was a little intimidated, to be honest, and also, you know, working with Zeljko Obradović, I would just see him on TV being red. I'm like,
the crazy guy.
I love to work with this guy, but I don't know what to expect, you know. I know I talked about, like, listen to my coaches and respect authority and stuff, but I was like, okay, what's that going to look like, you know, with him as a coach? I was very eager to the opportunity and work with him, and I remember the year before we had a game, and after the game we almost beat Panathinaikos, and he came and like gave me a high five, and I was like, I couldn't sleep at night, you know. And then to work with him, that was that was amazing.
You're his type of player. I mean, Coach and I are really good friends, and I played with him obviously, but you're his type of player, so you were gonna have no problem. 2 Greek Cups, 4 Greek League Championships, 2 European Championships, the Triple Crown of 2009. What's it like to be part of that legacy? I mean, when you're going through it, do you really realize what's going on, or is it just like just another day at the office?
I think now not so much. I feel like after I retire, I would, you know, it would be nice to look back and see what happened over these years, you know. But it is really great. I mean, it's an amazing thing to have played for such good teams, and a lot of players have played and never won EuroLeagues, you know. And for me to be there, it's just like it's amazing. It's hard to describe it, you know.
You play with Diamandidis, with Jasikevicius, Baptiste, yeah. I think.
That's what I'm saying. I have been blessed to be part of the amazing
what
teams.
What were those practices like? I know how intense Zeljko is in practices. I mean, you guys had players on that team that you were 10 deep. You know, practices must have been so intense.
They were intense. And I think many times, also playing in the Greek League, our practices were harder than just playing the Greek League games, you know.
Exactly.
And very competitive. And sometimes, you know, guys would do things that you're like, wow, how did he do that, you know? And it was, especially being young, it was amazing. I learned a lot from all of them, you know.
I have to ask you, of course, about your first Greek derby. Do you remember the first one? Was it in Oaka or was it in Peace and Friendship?
When I was in Panathinaikos?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was...
That's the only Greek derby, isn't it?
Well, I was talking like after I transferred, but yeah.
No. We're
still in Panathinaikos. Yeah, okay. So yeah, the first game, I remember the atmosphere. I wasn't in the 12th. I was sitting on the sideline, you know. Like I spent a...
You didn't play that much that first year.
The first year, I spent like the first couple months outside of the 12, and that was kind of disappointing and discouraging.
Especially after the year you had in Panionios.
When you're 23, you would want to play, you know.
Right, of course.
And especially when you go in this full arena, and it was hard. But like, you know, like I said, there was, of course, I kept working hard and waiting for my opportunity. And but the first derby, it was just unbelievable. The atmosphere in Oaka is amazing. And
have you've seen one on TV obviously before? Did you ever go see one in person?
No. So you're,
when you were on that bench, it was your first one. So 5 seasons with Panathinaikos. The year before you decide to do it, Spanoulis makes like crazy headlines. Billy, my man.
Yeah.
Who was on my all-decade team, no matter what people say, decides to go from Kifisia to Piraeus. And you follow in his footsteps the next year. How? I mean, it's not a typical, normal... I mean, probably a lot of the pressure was off you because Spanoulis did it the year before. And you fly under the radar anyways.
Yeah, but for me, I do like to fly under the radar. And that was not a move that typically I would have done. That year, I was coming from an injury. I had a black lad on my leg, and I played the last few months of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the season, I had no offers. And Panathinaikos had made a lot of changes. The new coach didn't really want me in the team. And it was August, and Olympiacos came in the beginning of August, you know, and preseason's about to start. I had no offers. So for me, it was kind of like in one way, only decision. I mean, there was not really options for me, you know.
Right.
And people, you know, say, how could you do that? But the other option would be to just sit out and wait, you know. And
Nobody really understands what that move is like unless you're from Greece and you've lived it, you know.
I didn't really want to experience that, you know, but it
you
was...
You don't seem like that type of person who wants to do that, you know.
I didn't want to, but I was kind of like forced to do that, but I'm thankful for these 2 years in Olympiacos, you know.
But you go into a team that just won the EuroLeague championship. And of course, now you're explaining to me, my question was going to be, how hard is it to go for a team that just won? Because repeating the championship is not the easiest thing to do in the EuroLeague, as history shows. Mm-hmm. But now we know why you went. But that team repeated anyways. You have to be feeling like just so blessed and honored.
To me, that was also like, that's a confirmation that I'm like, it's a hard decision I had to make. But it was rewarding, you know, just to be able to win another EuroLeague. I think, it was all worth it, and everything happens for a reason. Right. And that was a good reason for me to do that.
Now the opposite question, what was it like for you to play the Greek Derby from the Olympiacos side this time?
Yeah, I remember this game, yes, the first game.
Because this one you actually played in.
Right, usually I don't go out for a pre-warm-up, you know, I just stay in the locker room, I stretch and warm-up, and then... So we are getting ready to go out for the warm-up, and you know, it's 18,000-20,000 people.
This is in Oaka.
In Oaka, the first game. And as I walk out from the tunnel, you know, where I was always as a, you know, home player,
right.
I go out and, you know, it's just like my knees were shaking, you know. My knees were shaking, and then people started singing, cursing my mother, actually.
Of course, yeah. My mother got that wrath also back in the day.
So that was, I will never forget that feeling. My knees were sagging, like the warm up. But, you know, after we started warming up and the game started and I was fine and we got the win.
How did you play?
I think I had a good game.
Yeah, a good game. It's hard to go against your old team and play against your old team, but
it was hard. And then also, I had my wife in the hospital with my. She was giving birth the next morning.
Yeah, no, so the same time.
Yeah. So we the
first child.
The doctor tried to like keep him in for another day so I can go play the game and then go
to
the hospital.
The doctor probably wanted to go.
He wanted to see the game. So like, okay, let's wait for another day. So the next morning I went to the hospital.
This was your first child?
My first son. My first son, yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then 2 years in Olympiacos, you leave. And my, I mean, I love Greek basketball. I love Greece. I love everything. But, you know, with all due respect to AEK, the Aires, the PAOK, the teams that were so historic, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day. And, of course, your old team, Panionios. You've done Panionios. You've done Olympiacos. You've done Panathinaikos. You've done it all in Greece. Was your mentality like, I need to go now?
Yeah, I was 30. I said, if I don't go now, I will never see how professional basketball is outside of Greece.
Right.
You know, and the situation in Greece, there's a lot of pressure. You know, as a local, you feel the pressure more. As a foreigner, not so much. And right. I've experienced that in the teams I played later, you know. So I think for me, I was kind of like fed up with that. And I just wanted to see something different. And that was my opportunity. I had a good season.
So this was a conscious move then?
It was a conscious move. I had some offer. I was thinking about that. I actually, to be honest, I wanted to go to leave Greece after Panathinaikos. I wanted to go somewhere in Europe to play.
But you didn't have that offer yet.
I didn't have that option yet. So when that opportunity came, I thought I would like to experience that, to see how it is to be a foreigner and to see other leagues and then to see how, you know, people think about professional sports outside of Greece, you know.
This is obviously something you spoke with your wife now, because you've essentially, she's moved to Greece for you.
Yeah.
And now she's getting used to the Greek lifestyle. And now you say, hey, honey, let's go to Turkey.
Yeah, but in a sense, in Greece, she's still a foreigner, you know. And she will always be a foreigner. So the move wasn't hard. If my wife was Greek, maybe it would have been harder to just say, okay, let's pack everything and go. Because for her, it was the same in Greece or Turkey or Spain or anywhere else, you know.
Was the transition difficult for you guys? I mean, you did it as a family, obviously. So that makes life usually a lot easier.
It wasn't that difficult, no. I have learned to adjust. Like I said, my father was in the army, so I grew up changing places every 3 years, and it was easy for me to adjust. And I went to Turkey, which is a similar culture to Greece, you know, and I had my family with me. We had, the hard part was that we had three children and the one was a newborn, you know, so my wife didn't have a lot of time. I mean, she just stayed home with the kids, you know, which in a way, maybe it was a grace because...
But she's an ex-athlete also. This is, you know...
That was, that's a big change for her. And she says that, like, you know, my life had a 180 degrees change since, you know...
She never uses that against you, does she?
No, she actually loves it.
We could talk to her right here.
She actually loves it, you know. She was ready to be done with basketball. She never really... like she was kind of burned out after college. She kept doing it because she was.
I read that.
She was good, you know, and then she kept doing it, and I'm glad she kept doing it because you know she came to Greece.
She got to see you to meet you. It's crazy how destiny, the fate and things happen. There's not too many players that don't have hard times along the way. You just mentioned the blood clot. I always like to talk about the moment. And everything else, you came from, I think, California on a flight, and I guess the whole deal was that you went in, you didn't go in business class or first class, you went in economy. I like that, you know, you're being financially wise.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I don't. that was it, but I was coming back for the national team, you know, to try out for the national team. And
but it's the story you were going to introduce your new child, right, to to their grandparents. Or you had
No. The child was she was already 1 year old, like when I had, or a few months old, you know. And she was born in Greece.
Right.
Oh, you're talking, the other grand. my bad. Yeah, we went to.
Don't forget, you have the other grandparents, you know.
Greek families, you know, just
Greek
think about.
Dominate.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, the American family. So, went to introduce our daughter to. My wife's parents, and then on the way back, I left early. They stayed in the States. I left to go with the national team and have medicals and stuff. And when I didn't really get up during the flight, I got up once. And when we got to Athens, my knee was really aching, and I thought it was just I was stiff from sitting for 10 hours, 11 hours. Then the pain moved down to my calf. And as I was walking, I thought as I walk, you know, just get better. But the pain kept being there. And the next day we had medicals, and I told the national team doctor, we did an MRI, and he's like, I don't see anything on the MRI. But why don't we? He knew I came from the States. He said, why don't we do like a vein exam, you know? And when the results came in, he's like, sit down and don't move, you know. He's like, you are staying here.
Totally unexpected. You never, other than this moment after the flight.
I mean, I think my dad had a blood clot, so I was familiar with it.
But still, you don't expect to get that.
You don't expect that at 26, 27, you know.
And blood clotting can be hereditary, but it's not that common and not that serious sometimes.
Right. And so I spent, I think, 10 days in the hospital with blood thinners. And then I had to take these blood thinners for 5 to 6 months.
Obviously, this is a very extremely difficult moment. You don't play with the national team, number one. You sit out for the majority of the next EuroLeague season. You know, we're so accustomed to fall down and, like, twist an ankle, tear a knee, you know, maybe break a wrist on a fall. Now, you've had to sit out of playing for almost, I think, 6 to 8 months.
6 months, yeah.
Because of something that never even happened on the court. It wasn't even a physical. How mentally difficult is this for you to... Because like I said, you're used to like maybe, you know, a knee operation or a broken hand, you know, you fell on the floor. How much harder is this to deal with?
Yeah, the hard part was for me, like when you have a surgery, they tell you you'll be back in 6 months, you know. And for me, they didn't have an answer, like a definite, they said, we don't know if you'll be able to play again or not.
That's even worse.
That was the hard part for me. Right. I didn't know what direction would this thing take, you know. And so it was a hard period, you know, like I didn't know, I was going day by day. And after the first month, I was able to start running and walking again. And I spent a lot of time just practicing on my own because the problem was I couldn't have contact practice because I was taking blood thinners.
Right.
And so,
but mentally, you still feel like you're in shape, right? Since you're doing, you're
right.
Going
yeah,
out
I was. Practice. I was practicing. I was doing sprints on the track and field with the coach, the strength coach, and it was tough because I didn't know. Am I going to be able to come back? And I said, like I said earlier, my faith, you know, is what gets me through the hard times. Mm-hmm. But you know, you're not immune to the feelings, you know, and the uncertainty. But that was a time that it was a test for me, a test mm-hmm. for my faith, and also to just stay focused and to keep working, even though I didn't know if I'd be able to play, you know.
The feeling of you might not be able to play again, compare it to the feeling of when you get the okay to go back and play again. Are they extreme opposites? Is it?
Yeah, that was a great feeling, you know. And I was still practicing with the team. I was not under contract, you know. I wasn't getting paid, but Zeljko Bradović has been amazing, you know. He waited for me, and I'm very thankful for that, you know. And he allowed me to practice with the team and mm-hmm. not with the team, but like to be around the team. And
with no contract at that time?
No contract for 6 months. And, you know, I wasn't getting paid or anything. I went there every day. But when I came back, I think it was February or something, or March, I'm not sure. But he waited for me, you know, and then it was amazing to be back on the court and to do what I love to do, you
right.
know. Yeah.
How much more do you appreciate the game after it almost being taken away from you?
You know, this experience, pairing with the experience I had after I left Barcelona, that I didn't really have any offers. It made me realize that this game is not forever, you know, and
right.
and make me realize that I have to appreciate, you know, the now and every game and every practice, because you know, there's an expiration date and it's coming soon. Yeah.
And I'll ask you about that in a minute, but you have three kids. I'm going to get a little bit more personal stuff, and we'll finish because you got to get off and go to practice.
Yeah,
three kids. Names? Are they Greek names, American names? Who won that battle?
They have both. my daughter has is Abby. He's Abigail. So mm-hmm. Athanasia. Uh-huh. Has a middle name. My son is Nico. And my other son has my name, Stratos.
Ah, Stratos. Okay. Which is not Stratos. It's
Efstratos.
I couldn't get that and the last name together. It's bad enough I have to do that tonight in the game.
Right.
The first child you had. In being a devout Christian, you don't have to be a Christian to know this, the difference, but how did it change your life? Again, you've put basketball secondary to your faith many times in this conversation, in this
yeah.
interview. Now it goes even further away when that first child is born.
Yeah, to me, I mean, that really changes your life, you know, and I do believe that children are a gift from God, you know, and when a child comes, then in a sense you don't really live for yourself anymore, you know. You learn how to give your life to a new creature, creation, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just like, you know, you go home and you forget about the pressures or the disappointments or the hardships, mm-hmm. you know. You see this little baby and all you want to do is hold her, you know, and that it's so rewarding, I think. Everybody who is a parent knows that. I'm not trying to say that there's not hard moments, you know, when you become a parent,
of course.
You know, sleepless nights and everything. But it's really...
Why does everybody say sleepless nights first?
I think especially for a professional athlete, like you have to be well-rested. Otherwise,
yeah.
you know, you can't perform. But
wait till they get older, man. Wait.
Yeah, everybody says that. So I'm enjoying the moment.
Yeah,
you know,
enjoy sleepless nights when they're young. They get old, it doesn't get any better,
yeah.
believe me.
We're past sleepless nights, but yeah. Everybody says wait to the teenager.
What are their ages?
9, 7, and 5.
Two boys and a girl.
Yeah, my first one. A girl.
Is it boy, girl, boy?
Girl, boy, boy.
Ah, so the girl's the oldest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Having three kids and doing the traveling that you've done, Barcelona, Turkey, Jerusalem, now in Serbia, it makes it more difficult to play this game, doesn't it? For, like, you know, now they're getting the school time.
Yeah, it is. You have to think about all the logistics, you know, and it's also not nice for them. You know, I grew up changing every couple of years, changing a place, and I find my kids in the same situation, and even worse, they change every 1 year or 2 years, right. You know, and that's not easy, but I know that it's not for very long.
Mm.
And, you know, my wife knows that too, my kids know that too, and they're looking forward to settling down.
Of course, if I can give anybody advice, all players I give advice, play until you can't play anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Play until you can.
I've heard that many times.
Because no matter what, when you leave, you'll always want to come back.
Right.
There's always like that year off where you're like, oh God, I'm so happy to be out of this.
You retired when, 35?
35.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at 36, I was the happiest guy in the world. At 36, I was like,
come back.
Yeah, I want to go back so bad, and it's so hard. I got to do this. This is the all-decade team.
Okay.
All right. And again, I'm going back to you. The two topics that we've talked about most here is your faith and a little bit about the fact that you fly under the radar. I don't understand how you're not on this list.
What I have to do? I have to pick five guys?
Two point guards, two twos, two threes, two fours, two fives.
Two point guards. All right. Obviously, I mean, Dimitris Diamandidis, you know, and I don't know, is Vasilis like a point guard or two guard?
You put him wherever you want to put him. It's your team.
All right. Yeah, okay.
But he's on the team, right?
For sure. Yeah, but this.
You just named 10 guys.
10 guys, all right.
You're shooting guys.
Actually, I'll put Nick on the point guard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with all my Greek guys, you know. Nick, Dimitris, and then Vasilis Panoulis.
That's three Greek guys and three choices.
Yeah. Bogdan Bogdanovic.
I went with Bogdan.
Let's see, three men.
Yeah, Barus is there, but I don't know. Do you want to keep going?
I'm going like three, like a.
Are you looking
by,
for three,
by position, you know?
You went Bogdanovic, right?
Will Clyburn.
Mm-hmm.
Bogdanovic, yeah, I put him as a two, I guess. Of course, you know, Yorgos Printezis. I'll do Kostas Papanikolaou.
Oh, he's sticking with the homeboys, man.
You know, my Greek guys. How many I have? Like some, six.
You need two fours and two fives.
So Printezis, I said Printezis, right?
Printezis, yep. That's another four.
The fives.
This is like the all-Greek national team,
also,
man.
Also, Segelia.
Okay.
And two big men. Let's see, two big men.
You got Vesely, you got Hines.
Obviously, Kyle Hines. Yeah, Kyle Hines. That would be my first pick.
Dunston is there. Gustavo Ione.
Yeah, I'll go with Brian Dunston.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect, my man. You're in the middle of the season in Serbia and enjoying this, but you'll be 36 by the time next season ends. You've already spent a couple summers without having – you have another year contract in Serbia?
No, that's my last one.
What's the plan? What path are you looking to take in the next couple of years?
You know, I'm okay with the idea of retiring, you know, and like I will see what options I have this summer. But if there's nothing that, you know, it's interesting or good for my family, I think I would call it a day, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult when you're going from place to place. That was one of the reasons why I decided to retire, because when I left Spain after 10 years, it was, you know, 1 year in Greece. Then I came home, then I went back for half a season in Greece. And I said, you know, family-wise.
It's difficult. And it's difficult when you have a family. If you're alone, it's a different thing, but as a single guy. But, yeah. But I will see what if there's any options. And I would like to go to Greece to play for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
But
finish your last year in
Greece. Finish my last year in Greece. But we'll see. You know, we'll see what doors are open.
Would Panionios be an option where you started?
I don't know. It might be...
Are we trying to get a contract? Then I could be your agent. What's my percentage?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know really. I don't know about what team, but I would like to. If it's something that I feel good about it, I will do it. If not, I'll just stop. You know.
You just stop. Yeah. And what are you going to do after? You want to stay in the game? Do you want to get away from the game? Do you want to build this house in Costa Rica for your wife?
And finally get your dreams, huh?
Get some surfing in?
No, you know, I'm thinking about, I don't want to coach or anything related to the game, but I have a passion of working with young kids, you know, and
perfect.
I might do that. I might just have an academy or something and just try to pass on any knowledge I gained from this 20 years of professional career, you know?
My man, I can't thank you enough. Between your faith and your family and the fact that I'm about to wish you good luck, there's no doubt that you're going to be successful no matter what you do. Your future is bright, and it's difficult to make that adjustment in the real life. But I think with your wife and your kids and your faith, you're not going to have that much of a hard time.
I appreciate it. You know, it's not an easy transition for sure. You know,
no, it's
that's all we know since we're teenagers.
Yep.
And it's not an easy transition, but you know, you figure it out like everybody else does. And I need to take a picture with you for my dad because.
We're going to take a video right now. We'll take a picture. Don't worry. We'll send it to your dad. Ratos, thank you so much. Good luck tonight and good luck with your future.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.